This is Susie Thorpe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
In the studio, I'm really pleased to have Sophie Moa and Laura Allen, and they're from the Centre for Global Equality, which is a Cambridge-based network, really, of... Well, you better tell us all about it. Good morning. Nice to have you here.
Good morning.
I'm under the impression, NGOs, which are academics, businesses and individuals, working together to reduce... I'll leave it to you. What is this all about?
We work together to solve the big problems in the world, or at least the big problems in the world that the bottom half of the world's population faces. So half the world's population, that's 3.5 billion people, live on less than $3 a day. So we try to focus the smarts that Cambridge stands for. So that's the universities and the businesses in the cluster, and lots of very interesting, small but very interesting, important, doing important work NGOs in the city. And we bring everybody together to approach old problems in new ways, because innovation is what Cambridge stands for.
Oh, so old problems in new ways, and new ways because of the innovative progress that's happening in Cambridge. So you're sort of picking up on what's happening in Cambridge and giving it back to...
Sharing it out a little bit.
Yeah, sharing it out a little bit. So how long has Centre for Global Equality been going?
It's been going for more than 10 years now. It used to be called the Humanitarian Centre, so there's many people in Cambridge who might have known us as that. And about 3 years ago, we rebranded as the Centre for Global Equality.
Right. Now, Sophie, you've got a little project going on, haven't you? And this is called The Cultivator.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so The Cultivator is essentially a group of new innovative technologies, kind of made up of early career researchers and people from Cambridge that have kind of come up with these really wonderful new fresh ideas. And what we do is we kind of help them craft what they've invented into a nice little venture, and then we nourish this little venture and help it kind of become a startup, help them towards their first field trials. And we set up lots of different different events for them. So we the program kind of lasts roughly a year, and they're with us for about a year, and we provide them with all different kinds of resources to help them be able to become a startup and something that's actually going to make a difference in people's lives.
And who are the people that you're helping? Give us an example of people that come to you for...
Actually, Laura, do you want to answer that question?
Well, they're basically usually a mix of students and postdocs and sometimes researchers from University of Cambridge, often mixed with people from businesses in Cambridge and people from NGOs. And they will come together around a particular idea. I mean, one example is a little company called Waterscope, which is evolving a new way of testing water for bacterial contamination, like E. coli, but making it possible to do that test very quickly. At the moment, it takes sort of 18 to 24 hours to test for water properly, and it usually has to be done by an expert, and it's a great big, huge piece of equipment that you have to carry into the field. But Waterscope is evolving a microscope, which is going to make it possible for someone who isn't trained to be able to test the water for E. coli and tell whether it's drinkable or not.
Mm. So talking about, just going back to Cultivator then, I read somewhere that you've literally taken it apart and put it all back together again. Is that right, Sophie? Have you had a good thorough sort of sort out of this?
Yes,
interesting.
So I've been working really quite closely with the different kind of Cultivator projects, that ventures that we have working with us, and kind of really asked them what they want and how we can help them and how we can support them so that we really can make a difference. And at the moment, we are looking for partners and people to collaborate with, local businesses who are interested in kind of helping us push these ventures forward. So we are starting our fundraising campaign to be able to make these connections and raise some funds to be able to really help our ventures move forward with their projects.
So I guess you've got all these interesting people and networks and things. You must have a huge data that you can tap into. Do you find that you've got this huge data that you can sort of pick on when you how do you identify the projects? I suppose that's probably what I'm asking. How do you know which ones to prioritise?
So we have a number of different programs. One of them is called Development iTeams, which is a version of iTeams that's been going in Cambridge for the last decade or so. iTeams basically looks at emerging technologies in the university and asks, could these technologies be commercialized? What we do in Development iTeams is say, could these emerging technologies be used for the benefit of poorer people in developing companies? Possibly that is through commercialization, but maybe it isn't. So very often we look at this emerging. So there's usually the basis of a really interesting cutting-edge research idea, and then we have a look-see, is there a market, or are there end users who really need this? And then is there a venture that could be made out of that? So basically the kernel of ideas usually come out of research one way or another, but of course research needs lots of other help from people who understand markets and understand business models to actually take that innovative new idea and use it in often a very difficult environment.
So you've got to keep this going all the time. How many of you in the Centre for Global Equality, how many of you working?
There's two of us working on this side of
it. Well, this is a big project for us.
Well, I think the thing is that we are the facilitators. So there's two of us doing the facilitating and the enabling. We sort of act as a secretariat. But there are 14 ventures, each of which will have between sort of 3 and 6 people in them. That's within the Cultivator. And then there's this much broader network of Cambridge-based researchers, which is more than 300 researchers. So who we are is a question that's quite hard to answer. But there's three of us, two working on the cultivator and one person working on the research side of things in our little office, but many, many more people who are contributing to the change that we want to see.
And from all the projects that you have done so far, what surprised you more? Have you felt really elated by the work that's been done to help developing countries? I mean, is there one particular moment that you think, gosh, that's been amazing to have done that, or if you've followed through some projects?
So there are two organisations that really embody what the Cambridge ecosystem can produce. One is Simprints, which I think you may have heard about, and the other is Africa's Voices Foundation.
What's the first one? Sorry,
Simprints.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Oh, you need to know.
Oh, I need to know. Yeah, well, you need to tell me right now.
So Simprints basically is a very interesting, innovative social enterprise, a not-for-profit that has found a way of identifying babies and people who don't have any ID using biometric thumbprint scanning.
What do you mean by don't have any ID? You mean
millions of people in the world don't have any identification.
Of course, yes.
Which means all sorts of things. They have no access to government services, but most importantly, it's not possible to clearly identify them with their health records. So terrifyingly, in many places, children could be inoculated 15 times for the same thing because it's not clear who they are. No, it's a little bit scary.
I'm looking a bit shocked here. That is very scary.
It is a bit scary. So
we take things for granted over here,
exactly.
Do we not?
So that's what Simprints is addressing. And they've evolved this very clever. They had to develop hardware that could actually recognize thumbprints. Thumbprints of farmers in Bangladesh. The normal thumbprint scanner that you might need in a bank or something just doesn't work because the thumbprint's too rubbed away from lots of manual labour.
That is something I'd never, ever thought of.
But they now have
identification of a human being so that they don't get too much of something, or they don't lose out, or wow, that's really interesting. And then there was the other project. What was the other one you used?
Africa's Voices Foundation.
And tell us about that.
So they, one of the most difficult things in development is you often need to get people to change their behaviour. So wear a condom or inoculate your children against polio. And it's often difficult for NGOs or governments to understand why these behaviour change programs are not working. So Africa's Voices has found a clever way of listening intelligently to people who don't usually have voice. And the way they do that is actually very relevant. They go and have a conversation like we're having on local radio, say in Kenya, and have a big conversation about inoculation, about polio, something that's a little bit contentious that the NGO they're working with wants to know about. And then they invite people to SMS what they think about inoculating polio, which is fine. And then all the data comes in, at which point it becomes a big data, huge challenge, because the texts come in text speak in different languages. And so clever people from the university, clever algorithm people, clever digital people, clever social scientists have found ways of crunching all this data and working out what it is that populations really believe about inoculating children against polio or something like that, and then give that information back to Oxfam or UNICEF or whoever it is trying to understand it. So, yeah, it's working really, really well, and they have got lots of clients. So they're remarkably successful. Simprince is employing 20 people. So that's the kind of, you know, when these ventures take off, they've often found a really important need and then a really clever way of addressing that need. And that's what we think Cambridge is good at.
Yeah, sounds absolutely fantastic. And as I said, you've been going for 10 years, but as you say, things have moved on and technology has enhanced, and so you're able to really define how you help developing countries move forward and actually understanding, as you say, their culture. It's all very well having our culture placed on them, but we have to understand how they live and work. And that's a shocker, actually, about identification. I'd never, ever thought about that. So it's fantastic. So your projects at the moment, well, you've got lots and lots of projects, haven't you? So the Culturate is something that you are obviously working on very hard at the moment, Sophie, as well. What's the future? What other things that do you feel that you'll be coming across or doing?
I think for the moment we want to get the Cultivator up and running so that it's a kind of successful incubator for the ventures that are coming in. So what the main project at the moment, as I said, is looking for potential partners, people that can really help us, and believe in what we're doing and believe in what the ventures are doing, because this is cutting edge technology. It's exciting, it's new, but what it also is doing is helping people that need the most help. So that's the dream at the moment for the next kind of year, and then we'll see where we are, I think.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much indeed. That's Laura Allen and Sophie Mayer from the Centre for Global Equality. It's really interesting stuff, and I wish you all the best. And if you want to get the website, it's a very lovely website, centreforglobalequality.org, and lots and lots of information. And as Sophie, as you said, we need more people on board, more funding for fantastic work. Thank you so much indeed.